Hello, I'm Jane Crowther, Editor-in-Chief of Total Film, and I've got with me today for this podcast our reviews editor, Matthew Leyland.
Hello.
And our news editor, Jordan Farley.
Hello.
This is a special episode where we talk about one thing, and one thing only, The Rise of Skywalker.
Confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi. Your destiny
Okay, so we saw this finally in a packed auditorium of people. Mm. You could feel the energy in the room, the excitement for seeing this.
I had to kill two people to get my seat.
And you queued for 2.5 hours to get in there to get the seats, which, thank you, Jordan. That was great.
You're welcome. It was
appreciated
worth every minute.
I enjoyed swanning in at the end and just finding your coat on the chair. So, Matthew, can you set us up for where we are in the saga when we sort of get to this film?
Okay. So a couple of years have passed since The Last Jedi. The Resistance are trying to regroup and rebuild. Rey's kind of honing her Jedi skills. But there's a very big bad out there who we know from previous films who's about to strike back.
That is cryptic, isn't it?
Say no more.
So... Now, this had so much pressure on it to wrap up a massive saga over 42 years, as we've discussed. Numerous plot lines, numerous character arcs. With J.J. Abrams, has he succeeded? Do we think that this is the film to end all Star Wars films?
No, not quite.
When you put it that way, no.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with the good. What is good about this film? What is working on a great level?
For starters, it's really fun, is what I will say. If you liked The Force Awakens, if you loved what JJ was doing with that film, there's every chance that you're going to like this film as well. All the gang are back together. We see Rey properly interacting with Poe for the first time, which is great. They have good bants between them.
Yeah, they have really good bants.
If you love, you know, the galaxy spanning aspect of Star Wars, you see a lot of new planets.
Yeah.
You get a lot of space dog fights. You get a lot of lightsaber fights. You kind of get good value for money from this film in terms of what you want from a Star Wars film.
Good speeder chase.
Yeah, there's some great new sort of, there's flying.
Yeah.
Stormtroopers. They fly now.
They do.
There's some really amazing new sort of vehicles and monsters. There's
good creatures.
Big and small.
Some very tiny ones that make a very big impact. So, I mean, I suppose in that respect, it's very much a film that if you like the legacy of Star Wars, there's plenty of sort of Easter eggs for you to enjoy. Is Leia working well? I mean, obviously, that's another aspect that people have been very worried about. I was particularly worried that this would look really cheap and weird, trying to sort of shoehorn Carrie Fisher, now deceased, back into this film. But for my money, it was seamless. I couldn't see the joins at all. Did you think it worked?
Yeah, I think they've done about as good a job as they could have done, really, under the circumstances. Obviously, she's not in a huge amount.
She was actually in it more than I was expecting, though.
I was expecting her to
have, like, two lines and that to be about it.
Yeah.
But she's got a good 10, 15 minutes of screen time, I would say.
Yeah, they keep coming back to her.
And it is key plot points that she's involved with, which is quite incredible when you think they had to reverse engineer a script around lines they already had that were on the cutting room floor.
This was originally meant to be Leia's film in the same way that The Force Awakens was Han's film and The Last Jedi was Luke's film. So she was obviously meant to be integral to the plot in a way that she can't be to the same extent in this film, but she does still feel a huge part of the film.
Yeah, absolutely.
And whatever the visual effects artists have done to, you know, comp her into the scenes that she's in is borderline miraculous.
It's flawless.
I don't know how they've done it. It looks incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't question that she was in those scenes with those people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And she gets top billing as well, which is sweet as well from the fans.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah, it does feel like a lovely tribute to her.
Another strong point for me is Adam Driver as Kylo Ren.
He's
been strong throughout this particular trilogy, but he really knocks it out of the park.
He's consistently been arguably the best thing across all three films. I mean, his performance as this conflicted Sith erring towards the light side, maybe, has been remarkable. You can just read that pain and trauma on his face all the way through. And I kind of like that he's got his mask back in this film, even though it does retcon a big point of The Last
Jedi.
Just because that mask was so striking and so cool. And it does.
But there is a very amusing joke made at the expense of the mask.
Yeah.
Which we won't spoil here, but they acknowledge it, don't they? They're aware.
Yeah.
But yeah, Adam Driver's arguably at his best in this film across any of the three films.
He also has, you know, we've seen this sort of push-pull with Rey and Kylo Ren and this sort of building of this strange relationship between them. We do get more of that in this, which is also quite satisfying to watch, I think.
Yeah, they bring it to a head, I think, in a very nice way. They play off each other really well, him and Daisy Ridley. Like, they bring out the best in each other.
Yeah,
I'd say it's one of the more satisfying parts of the film.
Yeah, let's just say the Reylo fans won't be disappointed.
Yeah,
I wasn't. Totally. I love that aspect, I have to say. So if that's the most satisfying, what was the dissatisfying parts of this film? What didn't work for you? Online, a lot of people have been complaining about various things. This hasn't hit home for a lot of people that you know, really love the series. It has been a disappointment to some people. Why do you think that is? What is it that's disappointing for people?
Well, my big issue is that I feel it's a film that's been made in reaction to The Last Jedi, rather than feeling like a proper continuation or evolution of what Rian Johnson was setting up in that film. There are a lot of things in this film where I think J.J. Abrams either wasn't happy or decided he didn't want to pick up the threads of what Rian Johnson set up, and it feels like he's basically taken a step back and gone, I'm actually making a sequel to The Force Awakens rather than The Last Jedi. Which, fair enough, The Force Awakens was a great film, but it's incredibly dissatisfying in terms of the arc of a trilogy, because it almost feels like a standalone film. It feels like those two films are part of a series, and then you've got a standalone film in the middle, which almost isn't connected, which is a very bizarre situation to be in.
Yeah, I agree. It felt very much like the stakes that had been raised massively by the last film, by Rian Johnson's version,
it was much more challenging,
were then sort of tempered by caveats and get out of jail cards in this one, that felt like, although it's fan service and you're getting the things that you do want, at the same time, sometimes that's not artistically pushing the boundaries if you are just getting what you want. Maybe it's what you need rather than what you want that makes for a really good cinematic experience.
In the way that The Last Jedi was unexpected and daring and challenging, this too often goes down an obvious and easy road in service of pleasing fans who wanted to see certain things from this film. And I understand why they've done that, and maybe they needed to do that. Maybe it was necessary for a final chapter in, you know, a trilogy / a trilogy of trilogies. But after The Last Jedi did so much to push things forward and radically shift things, it feels unsatisfying.
Yeah, and there are characters who were built up in The Last Jedi who don't really have anything to do in this
new
one. Like Rose particularly.
Rose is really shortchanged.
Yeah.
Which is particularly baffling because new characters are introduced into the Resistance and you're going, why doesn't Rose just do what this new person's
doing? Why doesn't she get those lines?
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
Like, she's already here and willing and able, and yet you've given this new
person
who shall not be named quite a big cameo.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Talking about new characters, Richard E. Grant is particularly delicious in this.
He really is,
He's good.
I didn't know what to expect about what he might be doing with this, but he's basically just gone, Peter Cushing,
he's gone
gonna
full
do that.
Grand Moff.
Completely really
gone off. And, you know, he's wearing those ridiculous jobber trousers, the high collar. He's got the sneer.
Yeah.
And he's really very entertaining. I think as a new character, he's well worth the money.
Really looks like he's having fun, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's almost a shame he wasn't in previous films.
Yeah.
It feels like you almost needed that type of character. I guess he's on the level with Hux, but Hux is he's always been a comedy character. So it feels like you needed that real icy, intimidating First Order.
And completely ruthless. It does feel like, it felt like when I was watching it, it was like, how has he not been in this before? This is the perfect
Where's he been?
Fit for him.
Yeah, exactly.
he's so supercilious and cold. Yeah, it's fantastic. Were there any other characters that people might be aware of from the news that's been around that we think were good?
Lando, I really enjoyed Lando. Yeah. I thought Billy Dee Williams was, he's not in it a huge amount, but I think he makes the most of it.
He gives good twinkle.
Yeah, he does, he's, yeah, he's very, yeah, very warm presence and really harks back to that original trilogy as he's, the, I guess, the guy, the original trilogy character with the biggest role in
and
this
obviously
film.
There's a new droid that we've obviously seen in all the toy packaging pre-Christmas.
Dio.
Yeah. He's pretty cute.
Does
he's...
he match up to R2?
I mean, no one can match up to R2.
No, not quite, no.
But I enjoyed him.
Yeah.
He's I've seen him compared to Forky online, the Toy
oh,
Story
yes,
character.
I can see that.
In the way that he's
a
kind
damaged,
of anxious.
Yeah.
And, yeah, yeah, which I kind of get.
He's quite low rent, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And another new character, Jana, played by Naomi Aki. Can't say too much about her role in the film because it's mysterious and should not be spoiled.
Mm.
But I liked her a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Thought she was really good fun. She rides around on a big furry horse.
Yeah, she's got a bow.
Exactly.
Cool bow.
She's got a cool bow. Can't say too much more than
she's
that.
She's very capable.
Yeah.
She is very capable.
Yeah, she's a good addition.
Yeah, I would say she is.
Yeah.
And you also get Kerry Russell's Zori Bliss as well.
Who I loved. I thought she was great.
Mm. She has a very cool costume.
Yeah.
Very cool costume. And
she's
a
the
really,
new Boba Fett.
Yeah, and a really great sort of frisson with Poe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Her sort of relationship with Poe really opens up him as a character, which made his sort of performance in this film all the more enjoyable as well.
Yeah. And gives us a kind of valuable insight into who Poe was before these films, which we kind of don't get enough of sometimes.
No.
Yeah, I really felt like he was sort of taking the role of the sort of Han Solo in this film.
He's he really
sort
steps
of
up to that, doesn't he?
Swaggering, charming, you know, bit of a rogue, and bit of a ladies' man.
Yeah.
It was really quite nice to see
that
side.
He gives good blue steel.
He does. He does.
And he looks like a member of Duran Duran as well in his outfit.
Which is no bad thing.
No bad thing.
My favourite new character, Babu Frick.
Babu Frick.
Yes.
Absolute legend.
Yeah.
I won't say exactly how he's involved in the story, but watch out for him because he's great.
He's delightful.
He's teeny tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But big.
But a big personality. Mm-hmm. The campaign for Babu Frick's Disney Plus series starts here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see that. A 10-parter of where that chap goes. Let's also talk about the fact that, you know, that one of the things that has been sort of touched upon in the sort of viral stuff that's had Josh Gad asking Daisy about who her parents are in the film. This is a big thing.
It's a big question.
We do get an answer to this. We won't say what it is or how it happens. But did you feel satisfied by that answer?
This kind of goes back to what I was saying about it not entirely delivering on what The Last Jedi set up. The Last Jedi has an answer to that question, which is that Rey's parents were nobody, which is an answer I really like. And The Rise of Skywalker doesn't entirely retcon that idea, but it also does things with it I didn't like.
Yeah.
Mm.
It felt like something of an anticlimax when it happened. For me, I didn't get a... It wasn't like a Luke, I'm your father moment or anything like that. It was... It just felt like a...
Yeah.
Oh, are we doing that? Which was disappointing.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's just another plot point in a film that does have a lot of plot points going on.
That's
a lot
one
of plot points, and that's something that we should discuss, that JJ is juggling a lot here and trying to wrap this up.
The first hour of this film is convoluted and then some.
Yeah.
It's planet hopping, it's MacGuffin chasing, it's just endless plot. And after something like, again, The Last Jedi, where that film stops, characters talk, they have meaningful conversations about things. This film just races through endless scenery and dialogue.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, can we just take a breath for a minute and appreciate the surroundings?
And also, if you've never seen a Star Wars film, which I believe there are people in the world, unicorns in the world that have never seen a Star Wars film, I think you'd be like struggling to understand what
you'd be very lost.
It's
not one to sort of start with.
No,
let's
not
say
at all.
That.
Yeah.
You do need your
not.
Back.
I mean, it's
knowledge.
The third film in a trilogy, so you wouldn't expect people to jump in with this. But,
but
at the same time,
there's that much going on.
Yeah, unless you know Star Wars, you're probably going to be a bit baffled at a certain point.
I mean, it's still a basic good versus evil tale, so I guess best you can leap in on that. But yeah, there's so much baggage that it arrives with that
and
you could get very
ending,
lost.
Let's talk about the ending.
Very generally.
Not,
no spoilers.
Not, not discussing in specifics, but just that, do you feel that it wraps it up? Do we feel like this is an ending, or do you feel that there's scope for this to move further?
To an extent, I feel like they've kind of left some questions unanswered to be answered in other avenues, such as comics and novels and TV series. But yeah, I think generally, yeah, it does have an ending.
Yeah.
You know, it does come to a full stop. So.
It's a very tricky thing to talk about.
You're not just sat there for hours and hours. Yeah. It does finish.
It does. I will say I left slightly unsatisfied in terms of certain questions that were set up were not adequately answered, which made me wonder if they are leaving them open for a comic book series or a Disney Plus series.
Yeah,
which shouldn't be the case.
Are you talking about the thread with Finn that continually pops up throughout the film and then is never resolved?
No. There's an annoying thread with Finn, and there's also a major question from The Force Awakens, which is just not answered at any point.
Yeah, just not addressed.
And they basically promised to answer it in The Force Awakens as well.
They don't get around to it.
It's a little annoying, but...
Well, you know, what can you do? Now we have Disney Plus.
He already had a lot to cram into one film.
Yeah. Who knows where these things might go?
Yeah.
So we gave it 4 stars.
Yeah.
Jamie reviewed it and gave it 4 stars.
Mm-hmm. Great review. You should all go and read it.
Yeah, which is online now. No spoilers in that as well.
Not at all.
Do we think that we should be recommending that people spend their hard-earned cash on going to the cinema to see this week?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think you have to measure your expectations. I think it's probably good to go in not expecting it to match up to some of the better entries in the Star Wars saga. But certainly, as a two-hour blockbuster, it gives you plenty to chew down on.
And plenty to argue with your friends about, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely,
I mean,
there's going to be endless discourse after this film.
We've spent several hours this morning just talking about various bits and bobs and hairy horses and everything else that we've discussed. Okay, so that is Star Wars, which is out now, and we hope that's given you an idea of what to expect from a massively anticipated movie. And we also hope you have an amazing time when you see it at the weekend. Join us for our next podcast when we'll be closing out 2019 with a review of the year, counting down Total Film's top 10 must-see movies of the last 12 months. And remember, if you have a question you'd like us to answer on the podcast, just tweet at us. And as always, don't forget, there's 10% off a Total Film subscription with the code INSIDETF at checkout at www.myfavouritemagazines.co.uk. Okay, that's it from us, and may the Force be with you. Well, a well-behaved cinema audience anyway, when you see it. We had a very well-behaved audience. There was no phones or chatting. People were transfixed. Okay, we will see you on our next podcast. Enjoy the film. Bye.
Goodbye, old friend. May the Force be with you.